You got to move. You got to move. You got to move, child. You got to move. But one day long, get ready. You got to move.
Welcome back, and this is Mark Steiner, and that's You Got to Move by the great Mississippi Fred McDowell. He died on this day in 1972. It's time for our monthly visit, which means Chauncey Whitehead is in the house, fitness professional, owner of CDW Health and Wellness Lifestyles, community fitness activist, and he truly is that. Puts a lot of time with young people in fitness, all kinds of young people, handicapped and more. And Rhonda Silva's back in the house, Division Administrator of the Baltimore City Cancer Program at the University of Maryland's Marlene and Stuart Greenbaum Cancer Center, where she manages the program that provides free breast, cervical, and colorectal cancer screenings for uninsured women and men from the ages 40 to 64 who live in the city of Baltimore. Good to have you back with us.
Oh, good morning.
Good morning.
So if you're here, Chauncey Whitehead, it means that there must be a walk coming up this Saturday.
Well, you know, Mark, that's absolutely right. We are going to have our Burn the Barbecue Off walk on July the 5th. We figure that July the 4th, we're all going to be eating some barbecue and crabs because this is Maryland.
I love crabs.
And you might say to yourself when you're on that second or third plate, you know what? What can I do tomorrow to burn it off? So Mama Ernestine and the rest of the crew, we decided to have a burn off the barbecue walk July the 5th, right after 4th of July.
Yeah, we see Miss Ernestine wanted to be here today, but she could not be with us.
Right. Mama Ernestine sends everyone her love and hello. She unfortunately had another commitment she had to take care of.
So, you know, I'm curious about this. You know, when, you know, normal human beings, like myself, I guess I'm normal at some points, but they like to drink their beer, love their wine, and like to eat. My wife always says that that I'm always afraid of not of where the next meal is coming from. I always think about the next meal. And I do like to eat. So when you, as you get older especially, and you like to eat, and you want to have a beer or two, and you want to drink some wine, or just hang out. But you gain weight. So right. You start putting it on, right?
Absolutely. You got to put it on.
So how do you deal with that?
Well, Rhonda, how do you deal with that from a clinical perspective?
I would say that, one, drinking in moderation is the most appropriate thing. There's nothing wrong with having a drink, but not to the point where it is excessive. Secondly, you have to combine that with a complete, good, healthy diet, which includes water and fruits and vegetables and all the things that will keep you hydrated and in health. So I look at the fact if you're going to have a small amount of wine or beer or whatever you may want to drink, but don't do it excessively.
Right.
Please keep your diet in control. Please keep your healthiness, your nutritional level where it needs to be. And we've done a lot of talking about that over the last couple of months here. And I'm hoping that folks will take away from the conversations that we're having about healthy eating and just being a healthy person.
You know, Rhonda mentioned a very good point, is the next few days we're going to be well into the 90 degrees and 60, 70, 80% humidity.
Yes.
So it's very important to stay hydrated.
Absolutely.
You know, I ask clients and I talk to just regular people, and they're like, oh, it's going to be hot today. I'll drink a lot of water tomorrow. I say, no.
No.
You need to start hydrating 24 hours out. If you know it's going to be 90 degrees tomorrow or it's Saturday, we want to tell our audience right now, it's going to be pretty hot when we start to walk.
So it's be like in the 80s on Saturday.
Right. And it's going to be humid all week. So you want to make sure that you have some hydration and you're drinking plenty of water the day before.
And please, have it with you. Please check on the elderly.
Always.
You have any family members who are elderly and at home, please go by their house and check on them, please.
Definitely. Which brings me to another point. Rhonda brought her lovely mother out to the last walk, and I tell you, boy, she looks so beautiful, and she could walk. She could really, really walk.
Well, she's 83 years old, and she walks past me, so I have to keep up with her.
This is your mom?
Yes, my mom.
Oh, she
yes,
was
she,
walking.
She walks 4 miles every day, Monday through Friday, in the mornings on the track. And then she goes to water aerobics from 8 to 9. And then from 9 to 10, she goes to the gym.
And that's what we try to get everyone to see, Mark, is that walking is important. So if you want to have your drink and we're at the 4th of July cookout, barbecue, crab out, whatever mm-hmm. you want to call it, and you're having one or two or three beers, you want to keep in mind that it's hot outside. And, you know, that could be a
beer is not water.
No.
It does not do the job that water does.
It's not water. It will dry you out.
It will dry you out.
Alcohol dries you out.
Yes.
So it dries you out. So please, if you go to the cooler, if you go to the cooler and it's hot, you know, don't reach for the beer as your hydration. You know, make sure you're thinking about grabbing some water. And even for the young people, you know, make sure everybody's hydrated. And like Rhonda said, check on the elderly, even the elderly at the cookout. Make sure that they're okay. Make sure that they're drinking plenty of water, or have a cool towel or some ice cubes around. It really helps.
And I think that's a good idea as far as a cool towel. So Saturday morning, folks need to come out with their water jugs, a cool towel that's going to go around their neck, hopefully, or something that you're going to use. You're going to need that to do this most wonderful walk.
Oh, yeah.
What time is this walk?
We're going to start at 7:30 a.m. We're going to start at 7:30 a.m. instead of 8 a.m. because the heat. And we all know that in the summertime, a half hour can be the difference between 5 degrees and 10 more degrees of heat. So we're starting at 7:30 so we can shoot on being done by about 8:30.
Mm-hmm. So there's a bunch of things you talked about here. And I you know, I was talking about walking and talking about your mom. I can remember. Mm-hmm. I love telling this story. My pop, who died around 90, until 3 months before he died, he could outwalk any other
Amazing.
Person around. He could walk for hours and hours and hours and hours and
That's
not
fantastic.
Stop.
Yeah.
And he walked every day of his life, up and down hospital walls, doing the lawn. He was always moving.
That's it.
And that's something we don't do. We're very sedentary in this culture.
Absolutely.
We don't move a lot.
And you're seeing the increase of obesity due to the sedentariness. You're seeing children who are beginning to become more obese because they're staying more time on the TV with their video games. So
right.
We need to encourage these young folks, get out of the house.
I'm sorry.
Get out of the house and get some sun, vitamin D. You don't realize that if you don't get in the sun, you can be vitamin D deficiency. So please, folks have to get into the sun. Also sunscreen, please.
Yes.
Make sure you have your sunscreen.
Skin cancer will happen.
Absolutely.
You know, and I was thinking just about that. You know, people always talk about cities like New York thinking they're unhealthy, but actually people in New York are healthier than people anywhere in the country because they walk everywhere.
Mm-hmm. And they walk,
walk
fast.
Everywhere.
Ready to get out of the way.
Basically trying to get out of the way.
You know, cities like New York, Boston, L.A., a lot of California cities, Washington, D.C.
Atlanta.
You know, they're moving Atlanta. They're, mm-hmm. they're moving. They're walking. And even...
And bicycling.
And cycling. And mm-hmm. just moving.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm a runner, but I prefer a person to walk. You got to walk. And then along the way, you know, you might want to walk and have a talk. And Rhonda mentioned vitamin D, and I always tell people as relates to walking, how about some vitamin me? You know,
yes.
Yes.
And I tell them, what are you talking about, Chauncey? I said, when you're out there walking, your mind is clear. You can think about some of your tasks for the day, some of the issues. I remember my dad had a little funny thing before he had to discipline us. I was the baby, and I was kind of mannish. And as you can see, Mark, I talk a lot now, so I probably talked a lot more when I was little. So my father would go out and before he would discipline me and have a walk and relax his mind, and then he would come back in and have a talk with me. And so you'll be surprised when you're facing a lot of different issues, whether it's discipline, whether it's a job from the stress, just a lot of it. Go for a walk and you feel a lot better, and you'll handle that situation better, I believe.
And not only that, you meet friends along the way. When we walked last month, it was just wonderful just saying hi to people, and folks are speaking to you, and because we're all doing the same thing, trying to walk and be healthy, and I think that is a terrific thing.
You know, one of the things about this is also just walking is that, and I think this is really important. I was thinking about this the other day when I left my car in the parking lot here at Morgan State University, WEAA, and then walked up 3 flights of steps to the studio. And I actually counted every step that I took from the car to here.
Uh-huh.
You know, and so you take like 200 steps to go from my car to my desk. And you think, so going back down, that's 400. That's 400. Then you count the ones in here, you're doing 300 or 400 steps, maybe as you walk around the studio doing work and stuff like that. And that we have lost, I mean, we'll come back to the counting part. I want you to talk to me about the counting part, Chauncey. But we've lost the understanding of the joy of walking. Not walking to compete, not walking to for any other reason, just walking lets you think, lets you work
it truly
out
does.
Head,
it does.
Clear stuff
yes,
out. People
it does.
Just to walk, to enjoy the walk.
Yep.
Right?
Pure pure walking. That's one of the things Mama Ernestine stressed about the walk, is that it's a walk. We encourage everyone to walk. We really don't want anybody to run. We really don't want anybody to overexert themselves. We want them to just get back to the old school walking. Say hi to someone that you don't know. If you notice, when I always do my warm up and stretch, I always tell people, say hi to somebody you don't know. Give them a high five and then start talking to them. Have a conversation with them. Walking, I always tell people, that's how I met Mama Ernestine, walking. Mm-hmm. If I was running, I would have ran past right by her. And then we walked for 8 or 9 miles and we just had a conversation. And that's how we, you know, became mother and son fitness people.
Well, my goal is to keep up with mother.
Oh, yeah,
Mama Ernestine.
Mother.
That's my goal.
She's a trip.
Oh, yeah. She can move. She can move. She can really move.
But I think with healthiness, will bring about healthy living will bring about reduction of cancer. Because if you begin to put in the foods in your bodies that are so healthy to keep and sustain you, you will find that having reduction in cancer disparities. I think it's important that you're cognizant of what you're putting in your body and how you're eating it will keep you and go a long, long way in health.
So, you know, I haven't got my bracelet on yet. Valerie bought me one. I got to fix it and put it on. But this thing, you like, count your steps. You can put it to your iPhone or your smart app, device. Why is that important? I mean, why is it important, you think, for people to have these things, count their steps? What does that really mean for somebody?
Because studies have shown when you're aware, you know, that you take 5,000 steps, you take 10,000 steps a mile, or you have a pedometer or a calorie counter, fat burner, that you will, on a regular basis, exercise and pay more attention to your levels of fitness. It's just a fact that you do that. You say 5,000, okay, I'm going to try to get to 5,000 steps. So if you're at 4,000, chances are you'll try to walk to 5,000. It just gives you a level of accountability. It really helps.
It does. And University of Maryland just had a contest, which I was a part of. And it was 21 teams, and it was for one entire month, and we all wore the meter.
Right.
So daily we had to put in the system what we did. But that competition made us do better. It made us go further. And each and every day we wind up in sixth place, which I thought was very good for us. But it was a team of three. But it does. It works.
Yeah, it's accountability. It's like you said, Mark, walking from your car, walking back, and then walking around the studio. Now, let's say you had a goal, and there was a goal in here for the 5,000, and you see it. You're going to try to add that extra 100 or that 200
Absolutely.
To get to it. It's one of those things, the way we are as human beings, we're kind of programmed that way. And studies have found that the best way to start a walking program is to give out the walking meters and pedometers, because it will help with the accountability and keep you regular in your walk.
It can make you almost like obsessed with kind of moving on and going further.
Absolutely.
David Sedaris, which we'll all connect to here on our website in this last week's, I think, New Yorker magazine, wrote this piece. He lives in England. He's a NPR commentator and comedian, and wrote this piece about how he got this pedometer, and he started wearing it, and so he started wearing it, and all of a sudden he didn't want to wear it, but he put it on. Then he realized he got to like 1,000 steps and got to 5,000 steps, and went and realized he was getting into it, and went, if I can do 5,000, I can do 6,000.
Exactly. Mm-hmm.
Then got to 6,000.
Exactly.
Then he started seeing, after like a month of really counting his steps and moving ahead, moving and walking everywhere for everything, that he started to lose weight.
It happens.
I mean, just from walking, losing weight. And feeling his body changing and parts of his body tightening up. He didn't think would tighten up from the walking. And I think that people don't get that walking by itself, you don't have to run.
No.
That's true.
No,
I agree.
You don't.
You know, that walking is...
Works.
It's cumulative.
Right.
It's and doesn't hurt your knees, doesn't hurt your hips,
exactly.
Doesn't hurt your ankles.
Right.
No, right.
Absolutely.
Right.
Absolutely. You know, absolutely. And that's what we try to... We try to remove some of the reasons people don't exercise. And a lot of times they'll tell me, because I can't run, I can't jog. I say, you can walk, right? Mm-hmm. Did the doctor say? I always make sure, did your medical professional say you can? They say, yeah, I can walk. Okay, that's what we're going to do.
There's the answer.
Because usually they'll tell you what they can't do. Well, I can't jog. I didn't say jog. I can't run. I didn't say run. But you can walk. Did your doctor say it's okay? So that is one of the reasons we, with the monthly community walks, we stress walking. Because you can walk. And if you can walk, you can turn it into a fitness routine. Mm-hmm. Where, how do we do that? I want to try to get out and walk 3 to 4 to 5 times a week. If it's okay with my body and my doctor, then I want to start taking some light hills, going up hills, down hills, but we're going to stick with the walking. Turn it into something that is regular, part of your program. You 7 days in a week, you want to try to walk at least 3 to 5 days a week. Mm-hmm. The weather is nice.
Absolutely.
Like it is now. The sun doesn't mm-hmm. go down until late.
Right. Mm-hmm.
The sun comes up early. Now you have an opportunity to get those times in.
You know, this might sound silly, but I think it's very important when you talk about walking. If you get home in the evening and if you take a 3-mile walk, which takes about an hour,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Or less maybe, but it takes about an hour.
Right.
And if you do that, instead of coming home and popping open that beer.
Mm-hmm. And if you have
pets. Take a walk.
That's
if you have an animal, take it out with you.
Take them for a walk.
Take them for a walk.
Animal for a walk. If you have kids, have them go with you.
That's right.
If you have a husband or wife or whatever is in the house,
absolutely.
Take them with you.
Absolutely.
You know, and just go for the walk and
right.
then settle in.
Or for my beer friends that do live out in the country or the county.
What are you trying to say?
You open up your beer and you walk with your beer in your hand. And
no,
down the country
you don't mean that.
So, yeah. No, it's too hot.
That doesn't help
but,
you.
That doesn't. Or you walk with some food, you know. But no, yeah. Seriously, you have. Absolutely right, Mark. In the evening, you go out for a walk. The average person walks anywhere between 15, 16, 17-minute mile pace. Mm-hmm. Usually takes you about an hour or a little bit over an hour if you have to walk slower.
But that's okay.
It's okay. And Rhonda's right. It's okay. Everyone walks at their own pace. It's always tell people it's not your race, it's your pace. Just take your time. Because if you're in a conversation, why rush? If you bring a friend, take your time, have a conversation with them.
And if you don't, bring some headphones and listen
That's
to some nice, comfortable
relax.
Music.
Breathe. Mm-hmm. Enjoy the beauty of nature. If you can find somewhere that's nice outside to walk it, I always tease one of my clients that takes pictures of the beautiful country that I'm going to pay her back and take a picture of the Inner Harbor and say, look, this is my view. And she has these beautiful pictures of birds and trees and sunrises. I said, you know what? I'm going to take a picture of the Domino sugar plant. I say, this is what I see in the morning when I'm walking.
Well, and actually, one of my producers who's listening to us as we tape our program today, just chatted me and said, that's what I've been doing on nights I don't go to the gym.
Great.
I bike
great.
4 or 5 times around Lake Montebello.
All right.
A little before dusk.
And it's
there
beautiful.
Are tons
beautiful.
Of people walking,
beautiful.
Tons of people walking, running, and biking around it.
Oh, yes. Beautiful.
Yeah.
Beautiful.
It was just like at Drew Hill. I was surprised. So many people are out there. And I was like, yeah, this is great.
And that was at 7. And that last walk, you know, our anniversary walk and the breakfast, we were
yes.
really happy to feed everybody. But Rhonda is absolutely right. We saw bikers, walkers, jogger, real-time bikers, you know, just
yeah.
regular bikers. You
saw
impressed. Loafers. You saw runners. You saw tennis players, the basketball. Everyone was out enjoying the park
yes.
and just enjoying movement. Strollers, you saw. Yeah. It just was everybody out. That's what makes it great.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's important, too. People just don't realize how much our parks are utilized. More people should utilize them.
Oh, absolutely. And it's free.
And
the parks
are
free.
It's free.
It's no excuse.
The city has done a great job with Montebello and Druid Hill Park.
Yes,
they
have.
And we are using the park. When you go out there on a Saturday morning, you almost have to get there early. You almost have to squat because if you don't, it's hard to find a parking space.
Yes.
People are out moving. They're really enjoying and using the Baltimore City Parks and Recreations.
So, Chance, we talked earlier about this idea, and well, three of us were about the eating and exercising and what you can eat. Now, I think in a very serious way, I mean, we and I have talked about this working out together. That you talk about what you've ended up eating and this chicken, and then it's a piece of apple pie, whatever it is you like for dessert, and ice cream, and you said, but I can do that because I run
occasionally. Yes.
But what is it? I mean, so let's be realistic here about what people can and cannot do. Let's take that back. What people should or should not do if they really want to kind of take care of themselves when it comes to eating and exercising. Because we say eat less, but what does that mean? You know, I mean, how does that really work?
Mm-hmm. Well, I think one thing when you talk about eating less, it depends on what are you eating. If your weight is needs to be under control, then you will eat somewhat less. If your weight is causing you the diabetes and the high blood pressure, then you will monitor and see what you're eating. Your meals may not be as large. You don't have to have large plates full of food. That is not necessary. You can eat smaller meals and add in your fruits and your vegetables and things and your water and all the things that you have to. So you really should not have these large meals that make you sedentary and I'm tired and I'm not moving. Nah.
And you know, Rhonda, our colleague Angela is not here today, who is our registered dietitian and nutritionist.
Right, right.
Yes.
And I always call it that Jethro Bodine plate from Beverly Hillbillies. You remember how Jethro had eaten? And it's in everyone... That's why I always try to get people to see you need to check with your medical professional, because as Rhonda had spoke about cancer and cancer patients, just a little bit, Rhonda, talk about how they may have a different dietary needs.
Well, their dietary needs will be different because, number one, their taste buds are going to be different. They're not going to taste what they used to taste. It's not going to even smell like it used to smell. So, yes, your dietary needs are going to be totally different. You're going to need that increased protein. You're going to need that increase of vitamins in order to keep your body going because of the chemotherapy and the radiation just ravaged your body. And so, yes, when you're underneath that for cancer treatment, your diet is so, so important. And that you would check with your physician or your oncologist for.
And the reason I brought that up is because I want to answer your question too, Mark. One size does not fit all. And
right.
I like how you
right.
started with runners. Runners, sometimes we like to brag about, you know, what we eat because we can eat. But I always tell people it also depends at where you train, your weight, your size, your training. You know, like I train at a less than 8 minute mile pace. So therefore, I'm going to be burning a lot more calories. So if you're training at a 13 minute mile pace and you're eating the amount of calories and the food that I'm eating, chances are you're not going to burn off the type of calories and the amount of calories that I'm going to be burning off.
Mm-hmm.
And then you're going to be, well, Chauncey, you had pasta. I had pasta. You know, it one size doesn't fit all. You also want to make sure that you're eating appropriate for your health, your
Absolutely.
Size. If you have, because they're like, I don't know if your medical background. I don't know if you're suffering from cancer. Mm-hmm. So always try to redirect and find out exactly what's going on, because then later down the road, a person I've had people tell me, well, you know, oh, I forgot to tell you, I'm suffering from this. And you want to eat what I eat? What does Ma Ernestine say? She doesn't eat oranges. She can't eat a lot of these different things that have acid in it. And so it's not a one size fit all, but your question about what do you eat, as Angela always says, moderation. If your plate has more green and more colors on it, more than likely you're going to have a healthy choice. And meat, the size of that palm. Now, I got small hands, so I'm not going to be eating a big old slab of meat. But see, Mark, you know, we're going to have to shrink your hands a little bit. You get a little bit more meat. But, you know, in our culture now, we have the jumbo plates.
Yes.
You go to a buffet.
Yes.
You have a regular plate from 20 years ago. Then you have this Jethro Bodine plate that is just huge. And I tell people, try to go for the smallest plate.
Yes.
And it's difficult because a lot of the restaurants, they don't have a small plate. Sadly, they don't, Mark.
No.
I mean, I think that, you know, there's this kind of rule of thumb about how to eat. I mean, the other night when we were joking for on the air about the lamb chops I made and the sauce I made to go with them.
Oh, yeah.
And it was really good. With those four lamb chops, I ate four of them. But the rest
four
was,
palms worth, Ron. Four palms worth.
But a gigantic salad was next to it.
Okay. All right.
It covered, you know what I'm saying?
Okay.
That you made the of organic local vegetables. And you can do that. I mean, you know, people can go to the farmers markets and buy this really healthy food. Maybe a little bit more expensive. When you think about the less meat you eat, the better you are.
Yes.
Off,
true. Yes.
Right?
Absolutely.
And if you buy the better meat, I always tell the people, it's more expensive.
True.
But you eat less of it.
Yes.
That's true.
But eat the better stuff.
That's
eat less of it.
And that is what our colleague Angela would say. It's moderation, the greens on your plate, less meat, and if you can afford to buy the better quality of meat, mm-hmm. then and but still focus on, you said, less meat, smaller portions, more colors on your plate.
And get
more
some vegetable fruits in there. Fruits
in there, mm-hmm. and try to choose water as your beverage.
This whole gigantic slabs of meat thing we do in America is relatively new. I mean, people didn't use it because meat was so expensive. We didn't have all these.
Yeah, but now.
Now it's just, you know, rather
than. Yeah, and that's why Mama Ernestine wanted to do the walk on July 5th, because a lot of times in this country, we wake up guilty the day after Thanksgiving, mm-hmm. the day after the 4th of mm-hmm. July.
Yes.
And our guilt lasts real short, and we go do it again. Mm-hmm. You know, we open up the leftovers.
Mm-hmm.
So at the very least, we wanted to put it on people's mind the next day, okay, you might have some leftovers, but let's pull it back a little bit. Go for a walk. Go for some type of movement, because July the 4th falls on a Friday this
year.
Yes.
So we may have Thursday, Friday, Saturday, 3 days of eating and drinking and
Sunday
no
too.
Activity. And Sunday.
Yeah.
Because some people are taking off and calling it that. So mm-hmm. you want to add some physical activity and moderation. Moderation.
So before we run out of time completely, let's get folks there on Saturday one more time.
Saturday, July 5th, Druid Hill Park, tennis court area, 7:30 promptly.
So, and the walk is going to be how long this time?
We're going to walk anywhere from 2 to 5 miles. For those that are feeling pretty good and real healthy and want to go in the back of the dreaded Druid Hills, Mama Ernestine is taking everybody up and down the roving hills of Druid Hill.
So the same story last time, inside the park, not working down, out, and around.
Inside the park, we're going to go around the reservoir twice. And if you feel up to it and you physically can handle it, we are going back to the hills. We're going to go back past the old swimming pool, and we're going to go up and down the hills in the back of the zoo.
Great cardiac.
It's
5 miles.
Oh, it's great. I love that walk. I did
five
it the last time I was with you.
Oh, yeah. Mark, you can walk. Pops gave you those walking jeans. You can walk.
Pops gave me those walking jeans.
Oh, yeah. That's why he made it there.
So have a great 4th of July, and also get over there and join Chauncey and everybody else the day after.
Absolutely.
In the studio once again, Chauncey Whitehead, who is a fitness professional and owner of CDW Health and Wellness Lifestyles, a tremendous community fitness activist, and Ron DeSilva one more time with us. Always great to have her in the studio. Division Administrator for the Baltimore City Cancer Program at the University of Maryland's Marlene and Stuart Greenbaum Cancer Center, where she manages the program that provides free breast, cervical, and colorectal cancer screenings for the uninsured between the ages of 40 and 64, men and women living in the city of Baltimore. And Rhonda and Chauncey, always good to have you here.
Good
Thank
to be here.
You.
Thank you, Mark.
Yes.
See you all Saturday morning.
All righty.
Have a good 4th.
All right.
Too.
On our way to break, we're hearing Smoke Gets in Your Eyes by the Platters. David Lynch of the Platters was born on this day in 1929.
My true love was true. I was blind. Something here inside cannot be denied. Someday you'll find